dying and living. Romans chapter 6, 8 to 11. The Christian is dead with Christ in that Christ died to bear the punishment of sin on his behalf. The Apostle Paul explains that faith appropriates for the Christian the spiritual strength, not only through the death of Christ, but more so through the resurrection life of Christ. 3 days after Christ died, he rose from the dead. Christ died no more thereafter. And he appeared to his disciples while he was upon earth for 40 days before he was taken bodily to heaven, where he sat down on the right hand of the Father to live forevermore. Death has no more dominion over him. Our Lord Jesus has conquered death on our behalf. The Apostle Paul tells us that this new life that we live, that is dead to sin, is with Christ. And he puts it succinctly in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Because Christ lived, we also live. And by faith, we shall also live with him. It's the greatest privilege we have in Christ. Jesus described to the woman at the well concerning this supernatural life that we live in Christ. Jesus says, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, referring to the water from the well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him, that I shall give him, shall never thirst. But the water which I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So Christ is offering us a living water. In other words, the water that when we would partake of it would be life that flows to no end. And this is the life that God gives to us. And it is very different from the earthly life that we know of. Right? Our earthly life that we know is such that all the time you would need to go to the well, to pick up the water. And after you go to the well to pick up the water, you drink. And after a while, you become thirsty again. But here, Jesus is saying to us that there is a water that you shall drink and that you shall never thirst again. Whosoever drinketh of this water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of life, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So God provides for us all that we need in this life and beyond in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord wants us to be assured, right, that when we have committed our life to God, and this life that God gives us is not, we said, cannot be faked. Either you have it or you don't have it. If you have it, then it will be a life that enables you to live with strength. And so the Lord provides, Christ provides for us all that we need in this life and beyond. And this woman was satisfied, right? Because she found true love in Christ. You see, all this time, she was looking and looking, right? Looking for true love. And she has had how many husbands? Five husbands. And yet, you know, she was not happy. Right? She was looking for something that, you know, the husbands could not fill in her lives. So the Lord said to her, "You have had five husbands, but no rest in the soul until you have found the true love of your life, our Lord Jesus Christ." If you have God with you, right, and you love God foremost in your life, then you have everything that you need for life. God endows you with all that you need. And therefore, the Lord wants you to take hold of that life. And that life is very different from the earthly things of this life. That's spiritual life. Right? And taking hold of the spiritual life that God gives you also means that He will take care of you in your physical life on earth. So here, God takes care of us in His own way, not by our own understanding. And therefore, God wants us to learn His way and know Him and appropriate life from Him. And so Romans 6 verse 8 says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him." Death is a great, a great leveler. Right? God allow death to come to mankind as a great leveler, in the sense that when death comes, right, everything in your life becomes, as it were, zero-rised, right? All the relationships that you have in this life, all that you have, all that you possessed, all that you, all that you are in this life, there is a levering. Right? Suddenly, all these things pale to nothing. And so the Lord wants us to understand life, you see. Because if you have not understood that life with God, then we would find that we would unable to find rest for our soul. And this was what happened to that woman at the well. But if we have the Lord with us and we are dead with Christ, it means that we have crucified the flesh. When Christ died upon the cross, right, His body, His flesh was crucified on the cross. And God wants us to daily, right, crucify our flesh upon the cross. Right? When the flesh is crucified, right, then there is life. If the flesh is not crucified, then there is deadness in our life. So, Romans 6 verse 10 says, "For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died once and for all death, whereby sin and death were conquered. And after he died and he rose again, he lived forevermore. And so this, the meaning of the verb died in the original Greek is symbolized chronologically as a dot. And in the verb liveth, right, it describes eternal life. It means that Christ died once. There was an action that is done. All right. Done. And then his life, the life that he imparts, is a life forevermore. And so you see, with the death, then comes a horizontal line. That means a life that continues after that. Right. And so the Lord wants us to see, understand, when Christ accomplished the mission that his Father had sent him, he ascended to heaven. And that delightful relationship between the Father and the Son is described in Proverbs 8, 30 to 31. Then I was by him, as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. So in the beginning, before creation, what was there? There was the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what is this relationship? Well, there was a joyful relationship in the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit live in the spirit of fullness of joy, fullness of peace. Right. And then came creation. Now, what is the purpose of creation? Well, the purpose of the creation was that God wanted to impart to men that delight, that relationship that the Godhead enjoys, right? That life with God. And so if you have experienced that life with God, then you know it's such a happy life. Peace and joy upon earth. Right? Although, you know, in your outward circumstances, it can be hard. Right? Your outward circumstances can be hard, but your heart, your inward state is restful, at peace. And that is the life that God imparts to us, you see. That when we live in the middle of his will, when we walk with him according to his purpose, we are fulfilling his purpose for our lives. Then, you know, there is such a peace upon the heart. That's what happened to that woman at the well, you see. Right? Her sins were all forgiven. And she knows that she's a child of God. And that she is receiving life from God daily. How can we receive life from God daily? Well, it's by our devotion with God, our time spent, right, communing with him, right, that relationship. Do you have that precious relationship with God? That is what that holds you in life. If you have that precious relationship with God in Christ, that is the relationship that enables you, right, to live your life notwithstanding your circumstances, notwithstanding what is happening to you. Right? You have needs, of course. You may be tried, but there is a strength that is within you, knowing in your heart, right, that God is in charge and that he's in control and that I know that he will take care of me. Do you have that assurance in your heart? God wants us to have that assurance in our heart. And how can we have that assurance in our heart? By our life with him, you see? By your relationship with him. How are you building, cultivating that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have been cultivating it well, then you would find that
that life will sustain you through the trials. And that's the purpose for us to know Him, right? To study more about Him, to understand who He is. He has given to us His Word. He has given us His Scriptures. And He wants us to know Him by knowing His Word. And how we can approach Him, how we can fellowship with God. You see, that is imparted to you by your new birth. When you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, when you're born again, that's where you receive that life that God gives to you. And Jesus Christ imparts that life, right, to all men who would trust Him. Right? He accomplished it for them by His life, His death, His resurrection. And that delightful relationship between the Father and the Son He imparts to us. You see, when God imparts His life to us, He also imparts with it His wisdom to live life. And His wisdom to live life enables us to see life the way God wants us to see. You know? If we see life according to the way we would want to see in the flesh, then we're always very miserable. Because in the flesh, it's no good. But if you have life with God and you've understood that life with God and He imparts His wisdom to you, then there is a great peace, because He imparts that wisdom for you, that you know how to live your life. You know what to do. You know how to occupy your time. You know what it is that God wants you to do. And you are given that grace, the strength to do according to God's will. And that is the life that God gives to us to live. How marvelous it is. Right? We spoke about that life in our weekly, our pastoral, dwelling in thy courts. And the psalmist tells us, he tells us, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts, and we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. So when you approach God, He imparts to you a satisfaction, and He imparts to you the goodness that He has for your life. And that God wants us to be able to appropriate, to take hold of, you see. It's no accident that God saved you. It's because He loved you. That's why He saved you and made you His special people. And because He loves you and He set His hand to bless you, then, you know, out of gratitude, we ought to live our life well, worthy of all that He has done to bestow His grace upon you. And so God promises the nation of Israel His blessings when they would keep the Sabbath, because it is the sign that they are set apart as God's people. Isaiah 58 verse 13 to 14 it says, if thou turn thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So you see here, God gave the secret of worship with him. Beside, the seventh day was set aside at creation. But the holy Sabbath was first given to Israel as a gift of rest to God's people after they came out of Egypt. God provided a double portion of manna on the sixth day so that they would enjoy this gift of the rest. As slaves, they had no rest. Every day is a working day. And the Christian Sabbath is the Lord's Day, the first day of the week where our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And therefore, it distinguished God's people from the unbelieving world. We are assembled with grateful hearts to extol his sustaining grace upon our lives in the past week. You know, then we quoted the hymn, "Command thy blessing from above, O God, on all assembled here. Behold us with a father's love while we look with filial fear." So God blesses and God satisfies. Right? God's people are satisfied with the goodness of his house. In God's house, God's word is put into remembrance in the hearts of his people. God's goodness is imparted to his people as they obey his word. And so the Lord wants us to understand his will, and he would want us to do so, do his will. And Moses gave these last words to the children of Israel, not to depart from the Lord. Right? The book of the written law was to be placed beside the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we always think that in the Ark of the Covenant, right, you place three things, right? The Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod that buddeth, and also the pot of manna. But here, the Lord says to us, right, that take this book of the law and put it in the sight of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be a witness against thee. And he says, I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, I am yet alive with you this day. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? So Moses is speaking words of prophecy. Right? If we are rebellious and we continue to be rebellious, then we would find no rest for our souls. And this is the situation with Israel, you see. They had no rest. God took them out of the land. They see idols everywhere. God blessed them and they refused the blessings of God. They wanted to go their own way. And so we said how important it is that we come back to God and enjoy the delightful relationship. If we haven't built it, then let us be willing to build that relationship. Without it, right, our lives will continue to be weak. Our lives will continue to be lost in a very real way. Right, so Romans 6 verse 11 says, how we can be alive unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. To be living victoriously in holiness is to be alive unto God by a command to spiritual vigilance and habitual holiness. The Apostle Paul described this as the delightful new life in Christ. And this ought to be the Christian's life, live in appreciation of the beauty of holiness. And this life God imparts to you. But if you will not live this life and you would teach others to be wayward, woe unto you, I say to you. Woe unto you. The Lord will come after you and you would face the wrath of God because you have not followed the will of God. And I say this very, very sadly. And the Lord may minister to our hearts so that we will not continue that downward slide. For example, we are to put off the neglect of Bible study and we are to put on devotion. Put off the neglect of Bible study. 2 Timothy 3 verse 14 to 17. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So put off the neglect of Bible study and put on devotions. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And the other day we said, memorize the Ten Commandments. Have you memorized the Ten Commandments? No, you need to remember all. Because that's the Lord's commandment. Right? One you forget, wow, is a big thing in your life. So cannot forget every one of them, we have to remember. And God wants us to love His commandments. Why? Because that's where we would find life, you see. And so I urge you, right, to turn to the commandments tonight, if you have not memorized it. And I ask you to memorize it. Memorize it. Don't forget it. Love it for all your life. Because this is life already. If you don't have it, you would go on living that, you know what we said, half past six life. Well, we don't want to live that half past six life. Half past six means neither here nor there. Right? No fullness. But we don't want to live that kind of life because then the fullness of God's will upon your life is also not there, you see. And then we complain that, hey, how come like that? Well, then we said we sow what we reap, right? We reap what we sow. And therefore the Lord tells us, neglect not your Bible study, but put on your devotion. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so the Lord tells us, put off an unforgiving spirit. Put on a forgiving spirit. If ye will not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. But for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Put off pride. Put on humility. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Put on humility. He but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. James 4:6 and Proverbs 22:4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. You see that? Selfishness. Philippians 2:21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Isn't it very sad that we seek our own? We do not seek the things of Christ. Because if we seek the things of Christ, then you would find that, you know, this church will be a very different if God's people would seek the things of Christ. Very different. But here the Lord brings us, right, through a process of sanctification where we learn, where God helps us to grow so that we would learn. Well, when Israel was in the wilderness, right, they refused to go in to the promised land. And God caused them to wander round and round for 40 years. How sad it is, huh? 40 years, you know. And then all perished in the wilderness. Death to self and boasting, or what we say, conceit. Huh? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Right? The corn, when it is able to be scattered on the ground, that's where, you know, it would bring forth fruit. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou did not receive? Now, if thou didst receive, why dost thou glory, as if thou hadst not received? So the Lord tells us that, you know, if we have received of God, then let us learn to be thankful. We have received of God, let us learn, right, to not forget God's goodness upon us. Let another man praise thee, and not thy own mouth. A stranger, and not thy own lips. Stubbornness and submission. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And the Lord equate stubbornness as iniquity, that means a crookedness of life, and idolatry, that means you're worshipping idols. So stubbornness is like that, you know. Wow, why did the God use that word? You see, stubbornness is as idolatry. It's as if we are worshipping other gods. That is what it is. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. That was the words of Samuel, right, to King Saul. And submission, Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So yield yourself as instruments of righteousness, not instruments of unrighteousness. How you want to live your life, where your feet will bring you each day, well, you have a choice. You have a choice to live your life, but if you choose not to live the life that God wants you to live, then it's your choice, right? But the Lord says, yield yourself not to as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, because you would suffer loss. Remember Lot? Lot went into Sodom thinking that he wants to make some gain in Sodom, and what did he lose? He lost his entire family. Almost. How sad it is. Put off disobedience, put on obedience. But if ye will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you, as it was against your fathers. Disobedience, right? Obedience, put on obedience. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So you see, obedience, how important it is. When God said, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. To die you shall die. You shall suffer the consequence of it. But Adam and Eve said, oh, it looks so good. It will make you wise. Ah, there the tempter comes, and the leer, the seduction, the attraction, and the fatality. Death after that. How sad it is. How sad it is. Why did we always? Not want to choose God, but choose our own way. Let us always choose the way of God. Always obey Him. Yield ourselves to Him. Ungratefulness, thankfulness. Romans 1 verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart were darkened. Put on thankfulness. Ephesians 5:20. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you giving thanks to God for your current situation? Well, the Lord says, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. God makes no mistakes. God allows us to go through what we are going through for His good purpose. And if we are living in the will of God, right, then, you know, there is a grace that is within us that enable us to give thanks to God, to continue to follow God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He was upon earth, He suffered much because of the rebellion of Jewry. How sad it is. The right way, we don't want to follow. We want our own way. The law of the mother, we despise. How sad it is. We lose it, then, well, we are the big loser of it. And may the Lord help us. Help us to learn well and choose who we are to follow. If we choose the wrong person, if we follow wrongly, then we will suffer. But if we would understand and know the will of God and choose rightly, do the will of God, then you would find that God will bless you. God will strengthen you. Dying or living, well, the choice is yours. May we choose life. May we be living unto God. May we be alive unto God. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we pray for your mercy, that you would grant us your grace to follow thee. Lord,
we are so weak and we need Thee. We ask that You would be very merciful and gracious to draw us, to help us. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.